Good afternoon. My name is Janine Wallace, and I've just had a most wonderful week here at Riversdale Beach on the east coast of the Wairarapa with Madeline Taylor, and I've had the great fortune of attending her course about raising resilient children. I'm a grandmother, and I've raised two children, and I now have five grandchildren. So I'm also a businesswoman, so the skill set that I've been able to tap into in this week has just been amazing. And Madeline and I are just sitting here over the kitchen sink having a bit of a yarn about it, and we'd like to share some of those concepts with you. So Madeline, can you tell me a little bit about your background first so people know who you are?
So I come from the Wairarapa, so my family actually originate from Scotland, from Ireland and from England, and we've been in the Wairarapa for a long time now in terms of our family. I currently live in Wellington, and I use the idea of our founding document as the Treaty of Waitangi is really important to me, and so I'm honouring the people, the Ngā Tika Hanganunu, the people in this local region. But in terms of me and my education, I started off as a social worker, graduated in 1980, and then became a facilitator, a parent educator about 92 when I started having my own children. I've now got three sons who are all grown. I then became an international trainer, training in negotiation and difficult conversations, so that was pretty exciting. And then in 2015, added to my skill set by becoming a mediator and a certified coach. And then in 2019, I worked with a project manager specialist, and we wrote a book called The Business of People, Leadership for a Changing World. And who would have known where, you know, that the world was changed, going to be changing so much in the following year. And then during that lockdown, I put together a little parenting road code, which is available to parents. So it feels very strange to say that I'm now an author.
Yeah, which is great. And I've got this parenting road code book in front of me, and it's a really great little tool for parenting. Just before we go on to the parenting thing, just tell me about your trip to America, because that really impressed me, because of the fact that you, this was something that you really wanted to do, and you really had to put yourself out there to get this training.
So when I was studying transactional analysis, organisational development, it sounds like a mouthful, but what it is looking about is how we interact together as human beings and how do we work within organisations. And as a part of that, I came across the work of a woman called Gina Leslie Clark, who had been a parent educator. And she had, with some other people, Connie Dawson and David Benhoff, had done many pieces of research looking at the impact of overindulgence on children. And I began reading her book, How Much Is Too Much, and just thought it was spot on and something that I wanted to explore some more. I'd heard that she was doing her 5-day train the trainer retreat in Minnesota, and so I looked around to see if I could get some funding, but there was none available for an individual on their own, and I was working as a people skills consultant back there as an individual consultant in my own business. And so I bit the bullet and paid for myself to get over there and did the 5-day training, became certified after coming back to New Zealand, and now have the rights to teach this material in New Zealand, which I've been doing ever since. And so I think my first retreat might have been 9 years ago now. And I've been running yearly train the trainer workshops to help other people be able to spread the word about what this phenomenon is in our society, to support our parents today.
Wonderful. So I'm a grandparent, so tell me about parenting today. What do you see in families?
Parenting today is harder than it has ever been in across the centuries, I believe. It's really that word, unprecedented, because parents are facing things that no other generation have ever had to face. So the things that they're facing is the impact of commercialisation, which has meant that our marketers use marketing to make people feel bad about themselves in order to sell stuff. And they market to children, and they market it through parents and make parents feel bad about themselves, and so therefore they have to buy stuff. It's all very, very subtle, and they're using really important technological tools around neuroscience to help understand how best to make people feel bad about themselves in order to make them want to buy. Now, I'm not against marketing per se, because of course we all need to make a buck, and we all need to have business, and we need to have people know what it is that we're wanting. But because we live in such a well-resourced world now, in order for businesses to do well, they have to continue to sell things. And even if we don't want them, we are finding that we're kind of forced to have to purchase these things. And businesses are looking at more and more different ways to help us part with our money. So we've got marketing, we've got commercialization, we've got an indulgent community, and we've got screens and technology.
Yeah.
And all of those things impact on children. And so when we have parents who are parenting in a way that is not helpful for our children, they're tempted to do three things. One is they give too much of anything that money can buy. The second thing that they do is they over care, they over nurture. And some people say you can't over love your children, but actually I think you can.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing that we do as parents is we don't have we have soft structure, which means that we have rules or we don't have rules, but if we do have them, we don't keep them.
Mm.
Now, all of that sounds and the interesting thing is that the risks to our children are dire.
Mm.
And I'm going to read you what they are. So just listen to it. It takes a little time. So the first risk is that children grow up thinking that they're at the centre of the universe and they cannot give that up. They also have an overblown sense of entitlement. They're ungrateful. They've not learned valuable adult life skills. They become irresponsible. They have poor boundaries. They need immediate gratification. Have poor self-control. Are materialistic. Have overspending and overeating problems. And have goals of wealth, fame, image, not of meaningful relationships, personal growth, or for improving the community. And so when people grow up with these risks to their personalities, you can imagine what happens is that they go to a school and it's difficult and it causes conflict. They form relationships that don't last. They become sad. They become anxious. And to me, this is a great reason why we live in this most amazing country, and yet we have one of the worst mental health crises in the Western world. And it doesn't make sense. Mm. But when we see it through the lens of the way that we overindulge our children, then it does make a lot of sense. And so our job as parents, and my job as a parent educator, is to have conversations that support parents to realise actually they're not hopeless, it's not their fault either. Mm. So we have to stop blaming parents and blaming children for behaving the way they are, because our society has created it.
Mm. But there's one question I'd like to ask is, how long has this been sort of filtering through into our society, in your estimation?
Well, I think it's been quite a long time now. Mm. Gene studies in the States started about 95, 97.
Mm.
But I would say that as the technology has been going, we haven't really been completely aware of what's happening to our children and what's happened to their brain development. And so it's very, very subtle. So if you think about the idea of delayed gratification, when, just take for example, when you grew up, and if you had to go somewhere as a child, how would you get there?
Well, we'd go by car, or ride a bike, or we'd walk.
Okay. Mm. And if you went by the car, then you'd have to probably wait for your parents.
Yes, and the family, and it was all synchronised, really. Yes,
and so, and because often we had more children in the family, mm-hmm. then actually we had to take account of all of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas many of our children live in the city now, and once they get to a certain age, they're able to hop on a bus, go and do whatever it is that they want to do. Or families have two or three cars, and so therefore once they get to a certain age they're able to drive themselves, or they have their parents being able to ferry them around.
Mm.
But in your car, if you wanted to turn the window up or get the window up, how did you do that?
We would wind it.
Yeah. And again today, mostly you just touch a button and yes. up it goes. And so our children don't feel any effort to have to do anything.
Mm.
And it's all there already for them. For the most part, I know that I'm generalising, but this is one small, small example about how our children's life has become effortless. And so they don't have to graft, they don't have to experience that angst or pain to be able to shift to get to where they want to be a lot of the time. And again, I'm generalising. But we have to support our children to become competent and to be able to help them to do that by doing a few things. So I thought I'd tell you about what those were, because there's always hope.
That would be great, because I know in spending a bit of time with you this week that it was sobering to see what's happening in our world, but also kind of exciting that there is this wonderful toolkit that we, and they're very practical things that we can do about it. It's not a dead end, is it?
No, it isn't. Mm. So the first thing that we have to do as parents is to remember your strengths as a parent and to remember your role as a leader in your family. So therefore, it's useful for you to write down what your goals for your parenting is, and also to write down your values so that you can bring them to mind when you're helping to make a decision. And the other thing to do is to ensure that your children have jobs to do, because you think about setting the table. The things that children learn about setting a table is about being on time so that they can do it when the meal is there. It's about making sure they carry things carefully. They learn about balance. They learn about pleasing and working with others. They learn about gratitude, because it takes some effort to set a table. They also might spend time watching whoever's doing the cooking, and so they also realise that actually that takes a bit of effort as well. And so every simple little job helps to teach our children how to be confident, and we get our confidence not by being told that we're good at doing something, but by actually doing it.
Mm.
And that feeling inside, that hormone that's released, helps us to develop the habit that allows us to be able to go on and be more and more competent. And much of the actions that I was talking about before, giving too much, having soft structure and over-nurturing, actually teaches learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good for our children, and it's not good for our families, and it's certainly not good for our communities. So I really am delighted that you're talking with me today. The other thing that I think is really helpful is to understand about child development, because sometimes we have a skewed view of actually what children should be or shouldn't be able to do at any particular time. And so having a framework, whichever that is, you know, right for you and for your family and whatever culture you're in, then that's wonderful. The one that I find really helpful is using a tool called the Developmental Parenting Highway. And alongside that are the jobs of the child and a tool that's called the Test of Four to know whether or not we're off our parenting highway, just like in a car, so that we know whether or not we're getting too far
mm-hmm.
off the road, and we're safest when we're in the middle of the road. So choosing a framework that will work for you is a really useful thing for parents to be able to do.
Mm. So there must be some wonderful opportunities for you to create happy family, you know, to give parents an opportunity to really build their family life, which is such an important part of our human life, isn't it? So can you give me an example of maybe something simple that was life-changing for that family?
Yes, so I remember working with a family who had a 10-year-old, and they were really concerned about the child. The elder child was a delight, but the middle child was, you know, troublesome. And so they sat down and they did exactly as I'd asked. They sat down and talked about what their family values were. And then they sat down with their children and talked about what were the things that they expected of their children. And then they put it up onto the kitchen wall, and the children knew what was expected. And when they did it, the parents acknowledged that and gave them recognition for that. But if they didn't, they held them to account. And so when we hold our children to account, at one level, it means that we love them. Mm. But if we are addicted to our devices or our television or our work, we don't have the ability to notice what our children are doing. And so therefore, they feel that they haven't got their connection with us as parents.
So it really begins with us, doesn't it? We have to start the ball rolling. Yeah.
But also, I think if I go back to the marketing thing, to remember that we're in the society that is really, you're up against it as a parent. And when you feel despondent and you feel you've done the wrong thing, don't give up. Recognise, just like if we did drive off a real road, we'd get a tow truck. Go get yourself a tow truck that will help you to keep being the best parent that you can be. Because none of us get up in the morning and think, how can I wreck my kids?
Yeah.
We all love our children. We want to do the right thing by them.
We could go on talking for a long time, and this is sort of an introduction, but it's obviously something that you're very passionate about. And being out here at Riversdale was really like a retreat, really. The interaction and the camaraderie and the learning and the shared learning was just amazing. So it's a very positive road forward, and this is something that you are really passionate about, and I would encourage people to go to your website and find out more.
Cool.
I know your diary is super full. You're much in demand, but you're also very caring of the people that contact you and want to give more. And I think this is something that you'd like to do more of too, in the way of these retreats.
Absolutely.
Being at Riversdale's not that bad, is it?
No, it isn't. And so certainly these online tools, so I have an online parenting program. You can also go straight to the horse's mouth, and these online parenting programs through Minnesota University, through the education program. They're very short, about an hour long. People can purchase the parenting road code, either as a hard copy or as a soft copy.
Mm-hmm.
I provide parent coaching. I also do presentations as a fundraiser for schools or early childhood centres. I can come in and do work within families within the area. I live in Wellington, but if you want to go away on holiday and I've never been to that place, invite me along.
Well, I just wish you so much good, and I wish you well, Madeline. It's just been a really wonderful opportunity to spend time with you this week.
Thank you.
And I love your work.
Thank you so much, Janine.